When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Today, my guest is Lila Holly. Lila is a combat veteran and retired U.S. Army warrant officer. She's a multiple award-winning Amazon best-selling author who partners with other courageous military women and women veterans to share their stories of success in the military despite facing challenges along their journey. So welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Scott. Like you said, my name is Lila Holly. I am an Army veteran. I served 22 years active duty and traveled the globe. That was my objective, and I succeeded. And in those 22 years, I had a great career, and I was ready to retire. It was time to retire. But, you know, I think I learned some of the biggest lessons in that transition out of the military, like a lot of veterans. It was a very emotional process that I felt like I wasn't really prepared for, or I wasn't even kind of forewarned about. So I learned a lot during that time. And that's where this next career came from, I guess, if you will, becoming an author and sharing my story and just creating this platform for so many other women to share their amazing stories as well.
That's great. And so your transition out of the military kind of led you to what you're doing now. And so tell us a little bit about that transition and what that was like, and you know, how that led you to where you are now.
Yeah. After 22 years, I mean, you kind of know when it's time to retire, you kind of get that feeling. So it was definitely time. I had, you know, my career had ran the course. I felt like I had achieved success in my eyes. And that's really all that really matters when you're at that stage in your career. Like, what does success look like for you? And so make sure, you know, it's identified by you, like not anybody else. Don't let them force you or push you to stay longer. Obviously, I could have stayed longer, but no, it was time to transition. And so, like I said, it was, you know, I should have known, having lived life and gone through a lot of transitions myself already, that every transitional moment in life comes with a lot of emotions, right? And so I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just like, it's time to retire, it's time to go, let's go, let's get on up out of here and go to the next chapter. But those emotions really got me hung up. I felt things that I couldn't properly explain to my family to help me through. I hid a lot of my emotions. I felt like, you know, I beat myself up a lot thinking, you know, you should be able to push through this thing. This shouldn't have you hung up like this. What's going on? And so I, you know, really humbled myself and tapped into resources that are available to us as veterans that I had never, ever used in my career. And that's mental health services. You know, I was military intelligence, so I held a top secret clearance. And so, you know, you got to protect that clearance at all costs. You got to protect your career at all costs. And so it's just some things that you figure out along the way in your military career, because the mission comes first and everything else comes second. So you kind of figure out those emotions and how to process them and keep on going. And I did just that. But in transition, you don't have that luxury, right? You got to face those emotions head on. And I struggled a little bit, and I was just thankful that I was able to tap into that resource at the VA and the mental health services there. And they really helped me. They really assured me that the things that I had already implemented in my day-to-day to push through were going to help me get through that challenging time. And so that was comforting to know that, you know, the things that I had learned in the military, the things that kept me strong and kept me going in the military were that the same things that were going to help me in life after the military. So that was really comforting to know that. And it was comforting to hear that from the counselors that I've met with at the VA.
Well, that's great. And so that led you into kind of a new mission of helping out other veterans who are finding themselves in a similar situation. So tell us about what you're doing now and where you came up with the idea and how all of that evolved.
Yeah. So I, during that time I started journaling because that was one thing that really helped me. And so I was journaling about my journey, about some of the tools that helped me during that time. And, as a result of that, I transitioned all those thoughts and journal entries into my first self-published book because I felt like I had a great support system around me. My husband was a veteran. I had, you know, a very supportive family. But I thought about, you know, the 22 that they tell us veterans and service members that commit suicide every day. I thought about those guys and I thought about, man, you know, what about the folks that don't have a strong support system? And so I felt like, what better way to get this information out, these tools that help me get it out to the masses through a book? And so that's why I self-published, you know, the things that helped me through that struggle or that challenging time in my transition. And so that's where the journey to becoming a published author came from, just journaling, you know, my experiences and really being vulnerable and opening up and telling my story, because I felt like, you know, depression, struggles, mental health issues, they have no respect to person. They have no respect to rank. So any and everybody can struggle. And, you know, I feel like our fellow service members have to know that, and they have to, you know, that will make them more comfortable themselves to go out and get the help that they need and not resort to, you know, such a permanent option such as suicide. And so that was my main objective there. And then just taking that book on the road, speaking to other veterans and get in front of people whenever I could. And then I volunteered a lot. I started talking to other women veterans and I was like, man, this can't be just my experience. Like this can't just be like an anomaly. It has to, you know, other people have had to feel this same way. And sure enough, yeah, it's like a normal part of the transition process to have a little emotional hiccup here and there, but you got to be able to push through. And the great thing about us veterans is we're already equipped with what we need to be able to push through that. And so when I, you know, my volunteer time is speaking with other veterans, I was like, man, we have some amazing stories. Who's telling our stories, especially women veterans, who's telling our stories? And I took note of that, like, you know, Veterans Day would come around and I would hear the stories of women veterans. And it was always, you know, what the media shares, that the downtrodden, the sad and down and out story of the woman veteran. And not to say that those stories aren't relevant, but that's not the whole story. Like, that's not her whole story. That's just like a piece of her story, you know? And I took a note of who's telling these stories, and it wasn't us. And I said, man, we got to tell our own stories. And so connected with the publisher, told her my idea of creating this platform for women to be able to share their stories. And Camouflage Sisters was birthed. She loved it. In 2015, we published our first book. And this year, we're going to be releasing our eighth book in the series.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
No, and that's great. And so really, you know, you're out there giving voices to people to, you know, get their story told and put it out there and in a way that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have felt comfortable doing otherwise, you know, maybe on their own, the way you took that leap and self-published, but, you know, some other people may not be quite as willing to put the story out there, and it kind of helps give them that platform to tell their story, right?
Yeah. It's more comforting to know that all of our books are, Camouflage Sister books are anthologies. And so they're a group of women sharing their story together in one book. And so, I mean, you know, in the military and especially in the Army, you know, the battle buddy system is what we're taught. So, you know, to have a group to travel with you and go on that journey with you is always a good thing. And so, I'm very hands-on with my co-authors that come on board. I use social media a lot to find the ladies or for them to find me. And I'm very hands-on in the process because, you know, we never want to trigger anybody. We never want anybody to fall back into a dark space. I always want to make sure they're in a good healing headspace to share, because these are tough stories that they're sharing. You know, I always want to make sure they're in a good headspace to share their stories, and they are. We haven't had any issues. Most ladies, they know what they want to get out of the experience. If it's just to get the story off their chest to help other women, or if it's to take, you know, the process of becoming an author a little further, then I'm there to help them either whatever they want to get out of the experience. But it is comforting to know that with each project, you have ladies to the left and to the right of you sharing their story as well. And it's a little bit more comforting to know that. And so it's not as, you know, nerve wracking to be the only one like putting my whole life story out there in the book. So.
No, exactly. And I think even from just thinking about like a social situation where you're going to a place where maybe you don't know anybody who's there, it's better to go to that place with a friend or, yes. You know, someone who does know other people, and they can introduce you and they can kind of, you know, ease you into the situation. So that way, you know, it's not like just jumping into the deep end and, you know, feeling like you got water above your head and you're drowning. You know, it's easier to go along with other people. And so that's a great way to do it with anthology series where you have people, you know, writing books together and telling their stories together and collaborating in that way. And it probably is even good for the camaraderie to build with each other to get, you know, that kind of, you know, bond between these people who are writing these stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people that it started with the books, you know, but it's more than books. It's a movement now, and we're a true sisterhood because I've really pride myself on creating a safe space for the ladies to share their stories. And the books is just one piece of what we do. We get together. We've been using Zoom before it was a thing during this pandemic. Because we have co-authors from Guam all the way to Washington State now, and every point in between, even Hawaii. And so for us to stay connected, for us to stay in communications as the projects are released and different things and opportunities come available for the ladies, we have to stay connected. So every month we do a sisterhood chat. We get together and that's really our safe space to talk about the things that, you know, the challenges that we face as women veterans, because you know, our experiences as women veterans is different than just the average woman. So being a mother and a woman veteran, there's a little added level, you know, there that a regular woman who's just a mother who hasn't served may or may not be able to, you know, connect with you on that level from that experience. You know what I mean? So we do our monthly sisterhood chats to create that safe space so the ladies can come, and we talk a lot about self-care. That was something else I took note that the, you know, a lot of times us women veterans, we take care of everybody else, but we save the scraps and the crumbs for ourselves. And so I really push self-care and, you know, the art of saying no, you know, and really protecting your space and your peace. So we talk a lot about that. And it's like you said, it's really comforting to have this sisterhood of not only other women who have found the courage to share their stories, but just really understand what you're going through as a woman veteran, like the nuances that brings to your life, you know, the different levels of your life, and whether it's in a relationship with your children or your spouse or your family or, you know, whoever, you know, yourself, with yourself, you know. And so it's really comforting to have to be a part of the not only the book project, but then to find yourself part of this whole sisterhood that is, you know, there to support you on this journey.
Yeah. And you know, you're talking about how, you know, sometimes these people aren't taking care of themselves first and not that self-care thing. And I always equate that back to whenever you're on an airplane, they always say, you know, put the, if the oxygen masks come down, put your mask on first and then help somebody else. Because, and the whole reason why they say that is because if you don't and you end up passing out, you're not going to be any use to that other person either. So, that's, you know, that analogy just has stuck with me for so long about, you know, taking care of yourself and not looking at it in a selfish way. You know, you're not being selfish by taking care of yourself. Yeah. You're actually enabling yourself to help others by helping yourself. And so it's actually a very selfless thing to do by going out and helping yourself, you know, and, you know, not being selfish about it, but just doing the things that you need, saying no when you have to say no, and doing the things that make sense for you. And then you're able to go out and help other people, you know, the way that you want to, and be the best version of yourself that you could be, you know.
That's it right there. Yeah, to exactly. Be the best version of yourself that you can be. Yep, that's it.
Right. You know, and you do it all the time too. You know, when you were in the military, you know, a lot of times when you get out of the military, you let this slide, but when you're in the military, you exercise a lot and you take care of yourself, you know, and it's not like you're, you know, just being selfish and focusing on you. It's like, that's what is required of you in order to do the mission, do the job that you're expected to do. Like you're just taking care of yourself so that you can take care of other people, you know?
Yeah, but you know women that, you know, being a you know, God made us nurturers by nature, and that's what we do. You know, we take care of everybody. And I mean, I know you have women in your life who you're like, hey, just take a break, go, you know, you have to cook tonight, you just go get a pedicure, take a break, go take a bubble bath. You know, you have to force them to go and take some time for themselves, because that's what we do. Like that, a lot of times we find joy in that, but you know, like you said, to be your best self and to show up as your best self for others, you have to sometimes pause and take a break and, you know, step away, take a bubble bath, go get a pedicure, get your manicure, you know, just take a walk, read a book, disconnect, you know, whatever you need to do. But a lot of times as women, we forget about ourselves and just because it's natural for us to take care of, you know, as mothers, we take care of our children, we take care of our spouses, we take care of our aging parents, and it's so natural to us. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I forgot to take care of myself. I didn't get my massage this month, you know? And so you gotta put that on the schedule, pencil it in, and make sure you don't miss that appointment. But you're right. That's the only way. Taking care of yourself first is the only way you're going to be able to show up as your best self for those you really, really want to take care of. So, yes.
Exactly. I think that's very well put as far as that goes. And I think I've talked about the importance of sharing your story, you know, sharing your own personal story on this podcast. We've had other authors, other people who have gone out in public ways and sharing their story. And I think that it's an important thing for us to do. I recently just wrote a book. It's called Surviving Son, and it tells my story. On this podcast, I talk about my story all the time. And I think, from my point of view anyways, the importance of it is so that other people can understand your perspective and that they can understand what you've gone through and maybe have a little more compassion for you, or just general awareness of what someone has gone through during their military service. And maybe they haven't served and they want to know more about the military. You know, it's just an important thing. What is your point of view? What is your perspective on the people sharing their story and why you think that it's so important for people to get out there and share their story, whether it's through a book or a podcast or some other medium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you said, for people to get a perspective and to have compassion towards you and your experiences. And so, like I said earlier, you know, I might be a spouse and a mother, but my experiences are, I grew up in the military. I served in the military. And another woman who hasn't had that experience, is not going to know why I am the way I am with my children, or why I am the way I am with my spouse, or why I am the way I am, period, as a woman, because of that experience of serving in the military. And you're absolutely right. I think not only does it allow people who have never served in the military understand why we are the way we are from that experience, but it also lets those who have served or who are currently serving know that you're not alone in your journey. You're not alone in your struggles. You're not alone in your feelings. And especially as women veterans, that for me has been the main purpose of Camouflage Sisters, is to let other women know, other women who are wearing a uniform know, that you are not alone. Because we talk about tough topics, but the way we write is we tell the whole story. So we take a piece of our story, whatever that is. We tell the ugly truth, and we tell the lessons learned, and we tell how we grew from that experience, what we learned from it, and how we grew from it. And so if a woman reads our books and she's experiencing toxic leadership, for instance, she can find a story in the books about somebody who dealt with toxic leadership during their career, and how they got through it, and some of the things they had, some of the challenges they faced, how they got through that, and what they learned from that experience, and how they grew from it. And then they can be encouraged or inspired by that story and say, oh man, that's similar to what I'm going through now, and I can make it through because she did. And may even be more inclined to even reach out to that sister in arms and just kind of get a friend or get a mentor to help her through whatever challenges she may be facing in her life or her career. And so for sharing, when sharing your story, I think as veterans especially, it is really important for us to share our stories, because like I said, those 22 that resort to that final solution of suicide, all they need to hear is, hey, I went through that too. I made it through. Here's how I got through. I had some dark days. I'm telling you, sharing a story. I just sat in on a virtual event that the Texas Veteran Commission had this week. And that's what they did. They shared their story. They shared how they came through, you know, suicide attempts. And it was the fact that they shared their story, the fact that other people shared their story as well, and the fact that they were heard when sharing their story, that saved their life. And I just thought that was so impactful and so powerful, that, you know, there's so much power in our stories. And that's the main thing I want to express to the women, especially, because a lot of times you don't hear our stories. You know, you see the movies and the TV shows, and even on Veterans Day, we go out with our spouses and both of us served, and who gets the thank you for your service greeting? My husband does.
It's usually, yep.
And they
the man.
Look right over me, and my husband's like, hey, she served as well, you know? And so they're like, oh, okay. So we're still dealing with that in 2021 as women. And, you know, so it's a little jab to your, you know, to your being to be like, man, you know, the women are serving in the military. Like, we've been there. We've been serving, you know? So, you know, acknowledge us. And that's what people just want to, like I said, people just want to be heard. They want their story to be heard. They want their voice to be heard, and they want to feel relevant. And so when we share our stories, that's what it, when we have these platforms, like you said, podcasts, books, any other type of medium, blogs, movies and TV shows, they give us an outlet to share our stories for, like you said, for people to be compassionate, and for those others who may feel isolated or forgotten about, or feel like that their story doesn't even matter, to realize like, oh man, that's similar to my story. So yeah, my story is important. My story does matter. And so that's the main thing, like to see it for yourself, you can say, oh, okay, well, I could do that too. Or I could tell my story too. Or hey, my voice is important as well. You know? So, I mean, if we had never, if women were never allowed to tell their story or never even thought that, we wouldn't have in the state. I'm in the state of Texas. So, you know, Texas leads the way in terms of they passed the law that June 12th is Women's Veterans Day. And like, not to separate us out, but to acknowledge the contribution of women in the history of our nation's military. And so that felt pretty good to be a part of that celebration, and to just have a day to be like, oh, thanks for your service. Thanks to the women for their service. So, you know, I feel like it's all because women were brave enough to tell their stories. And so it's important that us as veterans find ways to share our story, even if it's at the VA. And I love going to the VA hospital because some of those old vets, boy, they'll burn your ear up telling their stories, right?
They will.
And
right?
I love it. We had one guy in line. He was 100 years old. And we were like, oh my gosh, you're 100 years old. And we were like, can we take a picture with you? Like, treat him like a celebrity, because to us as veterans, he is a celebrity. You know, he's a celebrity. And so, sure, I mean, he got a kick out of that. And it's just, I feel like it brings us together. It kind of tears down the walls of separation. And we have, at that point, we have a commonality. And like you said earlier, you gave an example of going to an event or going somewhere. You always looking for that veteran because you know him when you see him. You're like, oh, you served? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Right. And so and you got an instant friend right there, right? And I think our stories definitely connect us. And they let others know how important their voice and their story and their experiences are, validates them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something that you said earlier, by someone else hearing someone's story and saying, hey, you know, I went through that too. And you know, that just gives someone else the confidence to know that, hey, someone else has gone through this. I can do it too, you know. You know, and someone else has gone through this before me. Why can't I do it too? And so when someone's ready to give up because they think that they've tried everything, and then hold up, let's pump the brakes here. There's someone else who's gone through this, yeah. and they've come out okay on the other end of that struggle. I can do it too. You know, it gives that person hope. And that's a lot of what I try to do on this podcast too, is talk to those people who've struggled. You know, I'm not going to, you know, try to lie and say everything's rainbows and unicorns here. We're, you know, we have troubles in our lives, and it's okay. That's all part of being human, and part of being a veteran is there's going to be some hard times, but we can get through them. We can get through these hard times, and getting through these things is all part of the process. And by sharing those stories of those people who've struggled, gotten through it, and came out better for it, you know, I think that just gives hope to those people who might be struggling, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So with everything that's been going on in the news lately with the Afghanistan situation, I'm sure some of the people in your network have served overseas, have served in Afghanistan in particular. What have you been seeing in your community with regards to the people wanting to connect or to have their stories be told and their voices be heard about the situation that's been going on over there?
Well, I know that's a good question. You know, like I said, we have prided ourselves on creating a safe space for the ladies. I'm in a couple of different groups on social media, Facebook, and they've created space for the ladies to get together and just share their emotions and things like that. I think the main thing that I've seen is that room to allow veterans to express their feelings. And, you know, while in uniform, you don't get that. Like when I was coming up, I came up through the 90s and 2000s. So it wasn't feelings. You didn't, we wanted you to have feelings, we'd issue those to you, but we didn't do that. And so you just pushed on. My perspective being military intelligence, I kind of understand, you know, I look at it from that perspective. And so I kind of look at it a little different in terms of understanding, like, national security and, you know, making sure it makes strategic sense for us to, you know, so I look at it a little bit more analytical. I didn't go to Afghanistan. I served in Iraq and Bosnia and other places, but I understand the emotions, and I understand, people feeling a certain kind of way from watching what happened after all that time put in, having lost battle buddies over there and having served multiple deployments over there. But sometimes we got to pull ourselves out of the emotions of a thing. And especially as military, we kind of understand, you know, strategic, you know, we can look at things strategically and make it make sense to us. But that doesn't, like you said, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some emotions there because of what you're seeing. It's very heartbreaking to see the people suffering and to see the way it all ended. Could it have been done better? Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's always a better solution for things. But the one thing that I was comforted by was the fact that people who have groups or people who other veterans out there create a safe space for veterans to share their emotions. They validated their feelings and they gave them room to process those feelings as well. And so I think that was, from what I saw on, you know, on our veteran side, that was probably the best thing that came out of it, is like, it's okay to feel the way you're feeling. Let's meet, let's talk, let's get it out. You know, don't keep it bottled up. Don't wallow in it. And like you said, don't find a permanent solution for sadness and these emotions that you're feeling. Let's talk about this. And you got a whole band of brothers and sisters here that are here to help you make sense of this and let you get into a headspace where you can move forward through this. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that's well put. And I'm glad that there is that network out there for people to reach out to and speak to and feel comfortable, you know, talking about what it is that they have going on in their heads about the situation and everything. And I know it's a difficult situation for a lot of people to talk about. Some people may, you know, just kind of close up, and I'm glad that there is a safe community where people can come to and open up and express their feelings about the situation. So it's great that you're doing that. And I'm grateful that there are these communities like this, out there. Anything else that you have going on, that people can look forward to? I know you have been talking about a number of books, and I've just, curious to see if there's anything else in the works over the next few months that might be interesting for the listeners to know about.
Yes, so we do have another book coming out. Our eighth project will be coming out later this year. We're finishing up the final edits on that, so I'm excited about that project with 14 new ladies. And this time we have a spouse, we have a mother of two veterans, and we have a caregiver. And so their perspectives and their stories of how they're connected to the military are so interesting and so heartfelt, man, especially the caregiver story of talking about, you know, being a military dependent, taking care of her veteran father. I mean, it's such a heart touching story. I can't wait for this project to come out for people to be able to see it, to read these stories. It's going to be Behind the Rank Volume 5. That'll be the fifth and final volume in that series of our Camouflage Sisters books. But recently we just had an amazing podcast project that we put out. It's a dramatic reading of a few of our stories through Voyage Media. We've shared it on our social media page. So if you're interested in hearing that, they really did an amazing job of capturing our stories and sharing them. And there's so many outlets out there. If you are interested in sharing your story, there's so many outlets out there you can create yourself or you can become a part of to share your story and just find your voice. Our stories are so powerful. They're so relevant. And, you know, people want to hear them. Like, don't hold on to your story. You know, I meet so many amazing, amazing people when we were doing book tours before the pandemic. And I just was like, wow, man, I got to get you in a book. Like, I got to, you know, when are you writing your book? Like, I want to read that story. And so our stories, we have amazing, amazing stories of inspiration, encouragement, motivation. Like, don't sit on your story. God gave you those experiences for a reason. And the world is waiting, you know, the world is waiting to hear from you. So we have the podcast out, and then we have another book project coming out. But connect with us on social media to see what we got going on.
Yeah, and where can people go to get in touch with you and connect with you and find out more about the books and the podcast and everything?
Okay, we're on Facebook as Camouflage Sisters LLC. You can find us there, Camouflaged with a D, Sisters with an S at the end, LLC on Facebook. We also have a group called The Sisterhood. That's our group page on Facebook as well. We have an Instagram page, Camouflage Sisters, and we're also on LinkedIn at Camouflage Sisters. I'm on there as well as Lila Holly. So they can reach out to me. We're currently working on revamping our website. So I'm excited about that. I'm working with a woman-owned business to get that done and up and running before the year is out. So I'm excited about that and just excited about a couple of things coming up. So yeah, please connect with us. Excellent. Connect with us.
Excellent. And we will have links to all of these social media sites in the show notes. So if anyone's looking to connect, go ahead, click through on the show notes and you can find them there, or, you know, find them the normal way that you would just search on, you know, any other social media platform. So thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I really enjoyed hearing your story and hearing about all that you're doing for the veterans in your community. And I'm really grateful that there are people like you out there who are getting out there in networking and connecting these people together to get these great stories out there.
Well, congratulations on your book, Scott. I'm so excited for you. Please reach out. Let me know if I can do anything to help you promote it. And this podcast, thank you for what you're doing with your podcast, creating another space for us to share our stories, and for having me on today. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.